Hi, everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. Tonight's episode is called Someone Was Watching. An episode which actually makes perfect sense. And I feel like I was a little hard on Dateline last week about the titles. We love Dateline. Just sometimes the titles, they're not as great. This one I thought was great. I think it's very mysterious. Mm-hmm. I think it is very dramatic. And I think it's accurate. And I think it's accurate to this episode and not 500 other episodes.
True. Alternative title off the bat, Creepy Peeping.
There you go.
Who's that peeping around my back door?
Jeepers, creepers, peepers.
Yeah. I can think of a lot of songs that could have been played during this episode. They weren't, but they could have been.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Classic.
Who's playing tricks on me? Keith Morrison. This episode aired on November 17th, 2017. I think it could have been different. A few of the websites had different things. I couldn't even get a season or an episode number. So,
and I asked you before we started if this was a Kimberly's favorite. And you said, I guess it could be a Kimberly's favorite. But you said a bunch of people wanted coverage on this?
A few people have recommended this one. Yes. Seen this one. The funny thing was, before we started doing the podcast, I watched... No, that's not even possible. Because we started doing the... See, that's why I don't think this date is right. I think it's an earlier episode than that. Because I remember... I think it's definitely an earlier episode than that. Because I remember watching this episode before we started doing the podcast and totally thinking one thing. And now watching it again and having a different opinion. It's a lot like Heath Bar Farm, which wasn't Kimberly's favorite.
Yes, it was.
Which maybe was just for Patreon. But you should listen to that one, too. There's a lot of crossovers in this one. But it has a lot of Heath Bar Farm elements to it.
Do we call this one Flissner favorite?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. This is a Flissner's favorite.
And it is hosted by a man whose shadow is always leaning, Keith Morrison. The whole story revolves around this one woman and what she thinks she saw. And the episode starts with Keith saying, with charming condescension in his voice, "Of course she does. Of course she does."
That's great. And they show her. And her expression is indistinguishable, whether she's actually going to be smart or not.
Yeah,
you're like, can't tell. Can't tell.
And right off the bat, I'm like, was that shade? Because just his tone is so...
No, I think he's just setting a mystery.
It's like a child. And you're like, of course you think there was a unicorn in your bedroom. Of course. So then Keith's voiceover says, "Why don't we begin here? Cala Mesa, California." And I was like, Keith, we'll begin wherever you want. You're driving the ship, buddy. This is your call. We will start there.
And for those of you who don't live in California, Cala Mesa is not to be confused with Calabasas, where the Kardashians and Jeffree Star live. Cala Mesa, California is in Riverside, which is way north. You go through Riverside, I think, on the way to Vegas? No, not even.
Riverside is south.
I thought Riverside is in San Bernardino. No, that... What are you looking at?
A map.
Of Riverside?
I'm looking at on a map, and it's in between. It's definitely more east. It's definitely east.
That's what I thought. Riverside is like if you're going to Palm Springs, you pass through Riverside. If you're going to Orange County, you're just going straight down. So you're going through Anaheim, Irvine. Like, you're going down. But this way, okay. So this is if you're going to the desert, you go through Riverside. None of this matters. That has no bearing on diddly squat. I just wanted to know.
Okay. I don't think people care about that. All right. So Chris and Christy Hall are a married couple. They weren't old, just experienced, which is the nicest way that I'm going to start talking about myself.
That's good.
Also, their names are Chris and Christy.
I know. I can't. I don't know.
What do you do with that?
No, you get a lot of t-shirts made? Like a lot?
Do you even marry them? Because it's too cutesy. Would you just find someone else to marry? It's too cutesy.
So his shirt just says Chris, and hers says Chris, and then the T-Y is in parentheses?
Oh, that's funny.
Right?
That would be funny.
Or they just say Christ-like? I don't know. I don't know what
that is. No, that's terrible.
Why not? I don't know. They could get a bunch of shirts like that.
Also, her name had an I at the end, which is weird. to me because usually with the CH, you do the Y.
You definitely do.
The I is usually accompanies a K, Christy, in my experience.
Correct. You are correct in that.
She was an I, so whatever.
Hmm.
Good for her. Hmm. So they had three grown daughters who are all have careers and are more accomplished than either of us. Christy, they have like jobs.
They do have jobs. But it was funny the way that they announced them. It's like the personal trainer, the nurse, the actress, or whatever. I was like, all right.
No, one was a professional volleyball player.
Yeah, like just been back from Europe.
Yeah. Huh. Wow. So Christy had gone to see a relative at an Air Force base, met a security guard there, and flirted with him. She thought he looked like Elvis. I didn't really see it. But my bigger point in this is that's just really rude. Because if you're trying to get on that base and you're stuck behind them in line, you're honking your horn, you're about to get out of your car, except there are armed guards everywhere. They're having a full-on flirting conversation at the gate. No, no. Okay. I don't have time for that.
I'm picturing, first of all, you and I have been on an army base together.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
To a birthday party.
Oh, that was the worst day ever.
I was trying not
to say mad.
We're all still mad about it. We'll have to talk about that. If you want to hear about our army base story, you can ask us in a special Patreon. It's pretty rough.
I am mad. All societal rules were broken that day.
Every
and not
social
by
rule.
Us.
Yeah.
Not by us.
It was a bad event. So my question, remember when we went to the guard? First of all, when you stop at the guard thing, I feel like there were two people in there. So maybe what happened is because she was having a problem getting onto the base, he said, ma'am, can you pull over to the side? I need you, or sorry, miss, I need you, I'm going to need you to just pull your car to the side so we can let other people through. The other guy or gal helped the other cars coming in, and then Chris went over and said, hey, baby, you're pretty cute. Let's get out of here and go bowling. We're going to score tonight.
Tonight. You still haven't seen Grease 2, right?
No, I heard the song. I saw the video.
Gonna rock, we're get. You did? What did you think?
It looks terrible. I've seen pieces of it before. It looks like hot trash.
It is the best hot, stinky trash movie ever.
It definitely
looks
so like
that. It's so good. And I had such a crush on the boys in it. Maxwell
That's
Caulfield.
So funny.
Killed me. So...
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Yeah, the whole song with the dancing with the bowling balls.
It's rough.
Yeah. But do you think Chris pretended he didn't have a pass for her, even though he did, to get her to pull over, to flirt with him? Her? Is that what you were getting at?
No, I think it's probably much more that she legitimately didn't have one, and then a relationship blossomed over her not having the right thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris became a police chief. And he was shot on duty, but he survived.
So he went from a security guard to a police chief?
First a police officer, and then a police chief. I just skipped over the police officer part.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
It's a really big promotion. Here's the key to the city.
So the family decided to retire, kind of. Like, they were young to retire, but they wanted this house with a pool. And in Riverside, which we still don't know where it is.
We know where it is. It's on the way to Palm Springs in Cala Mesa.
Yes.
Not Calabasas.
Yes. So they are remodeling the bathroom in this house and they won't have a shower for a day. So Chris and Christy and the daughter, who is the teacher who lives at home, they all decide they're going to put on their suits the next morning, get up early, and go in the spa to rinse off.
Now, wait a minute.
I want to vomit.
Why?
That's nasty. That is like sharing a bathtub with your family.
Okay, listen up. They weren't in it together. And this is also a good point of when people can't shower, they don't just give up and are like, eh, where's my wet wipes? They took initiative and said, we're going to get in the hot tub and kill any sweat stink germs with chlorine.
Are you talking about me?
I think pretty consistently say on this podcast how much you don't shower. If you had a hot tub, would you go in it?
No, but I love swimming. I go in the pool a lot.
You do. Do you shower after the pool?
No, Not usually. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I do. There's something in this chlorine this summer at the pool that is very making my hair greasy instead of like drying it out like chlorine normally does. Normally chlorine like lightens my hair and turns it a little green, but this time it's just coating it with something.
Urine.
No, like oily. Like maybe sunscreen.
Oh, sunscreen. I don't know
what's in the public pool, but
sunscreen's so good.
I go in the pool a lot more in the summer, but no, I don't shower an awful lot. And I would just give up. But they were all going to put on their suits. Yep. And here's the thing. I really don't like hot tubs. Like I've said that before.
It's been noted.
I hate baths. I think it's like sitting in your own soup. Filth. Yep. Your own filth. It's like a soup of your own. And then my friend Robin had that story, which is probably on a Patreon somewhere, of the hot tub in Arizona.
It's in the Q&A.
Dead body. It's in the Q&A episode.
If the Q&A is still up or on our website, you can listen to the hot tub story there.
Yeah. So I just don't like it. And the thought of sharing it with my family is even grosser to me. Yet I do go to the pool with all the strangers and put aside any sort of tendencies I have towards persnicketiness because it grosses me out. But I try not to think about it for my health because I'm going to work out. But there's a show called Smothered. It's terrible. It's not fun like 90 Day Fiancé. Everyone on it is terrible. Everyone is terrible on 90 Day Fiancé too,
but in
a more fun way. They're like more fun. But on Smothered, it's just not fun. But there is a mother-daughter team, I guess, whatever, couple. They're in a loving relationship. They're lovers, basically. Okay. They're not really, but one of the moms takes a bath every morning, and when she gets out, the daughter gets into the bath water.
Barf, 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 barf. No.
The mom sees it as a way of respecting her, that she is willing to, like, share her bath water. Like, it's a matter of respect to her mother that it's gross. It's nasty. There's, like, body juices and skin cells.
Is that a cultural? You're saying respect like it's a cultural thing?
No, more like a respect to her elder that she gave her life.
Womb water.
Yeah. Basically, you know, like wedding ceremonies, if someone washes the other person's feet, and that's like a reverence thing.
That is, and like Mary Magdalene and Jesus.
It happened on Seeking Sister Wives. That guy washed both of the ladies' feet at his wedding ceremony. But
I don't have time
it's
for
like,
that.
It's like a reverence thing. So, or like shows, it's like when a dog bows his head to you, it shows that he is the meeker one and you're the pack leader. I think she thinks that taking the bath in the bathwater is something like that. Anyways, it's nasty and I am grossed out. But anyways, I'm going to try to move past it. So Chris heated up the spa. The daughter was sleeping in. At some point.
Sorry. Heated up the spa, period. The daughter was sleeping in her bedroom.
Not in the spa.
She was sleeping in the spa.
That's why punctuation is important. Yeah. Do you want to eat, Grandma? Do you want to eat, comma, Grandma?
Grandma, good.
The daughter hears a scream, and she runs outside and sees her dad trying to get her unconscious mom out of the spa. She calls 911. She starts CPR. We meet someone who I want more of, and I get one sentence. He's an EMT. He has a Steve Harvey mustache. I love him. He has a gap in his teeth.
Is he your boyfriend? I don't remember him.
He is a teddy bear, because literally he says one sentence, and then he's gone.
Oh.
I wanted his judgment on what was happening, because I feel like he's a straight shooter, and he's seen a lot of things.
From one sentence, you get this?
I get all of this.
That's all you need.
Maybe that's just how I see Steve Harvey, but I just think he'd be like, girl, I know he's guilty, or something. Like, I'm just, and I'd be like, I trust you.
He just gave a face. He just gave an eyebrow. And you'd be like, okay, I understand, Steve.
It was really the mustache that sold me.
Okay.
So it was a trustworthy mustache and teeth gap.
I need to see him because I want to know what constitutes a trustworthy mustache with you. And I want to know if it's the same as what constitutes a trustworthy mustache with me. Because I have very clear ideas about what mustaches can be trusted and what can't.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Now, so all he says is that Chris was hysterical and he was kind of getting in the way of them helping because he was wouldn't let go of the wife.
Oh.
Christy passed away at the hospital. Oh. Unfortunately, it's terrible. It was a private moment, what should have been a private moment, as Keith says, but maybe not so private after all, because someone was watching. And there's our title. And I think he knew it was going to be the title because he said it early on.
Yeah.
Usually they throw it out. I'm acting like they don't just do the voiceovers at the very end. So I think I'm giving away how little I know about TV production. So Chris and the daughter are taken to the police station. Instead of letting them go to the hospital or be with the other daughters to grieve, they are both taken to the police station. And Chris is put in interrogation. He says, "My wife was only out of my sight for a minute or two. She must have slipped and fallen into the spa." And the police say, well, the gash on her head is not consistent with falling down.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out why they're being so hard on him right away and not believing that it was an accident. Lindsay Patterson was on leave from the Navy, visiting her mom next door. She was inside the house, in the bathroom.
I was thinking washing face.
Oh, okay.
Washing face or getting ready to get in the shower.
Okay.
Those are mine.
That's valid. She's maybe she was going to jump in her own pool because maybe we just all jump in our spas instead of showering because we live in a lawless society. Now, she's also on vacation. She's visiting her mom. I don't get up early to go shower like if I'm on vacation.
We also don't know
her. Or ever.
We don't know her familial relationship and maybe visiting her mom is no vacation.
It's true.
Maybe it's I have maybe to go visit my mom.
She has like a 3-day window of when she can be nice to her. I can only be there for like 2.5 days. And then I start getting really cranky. And then it's time to go before I say something I'll regret. And maybe this was day 3 for Lindsay.
It might have been.
Yeah. She's like over it. So Lindsay said she was in the bathroom when she heard a horrible scream. And she went outside and looked over the wall to the next door backyard. She saw a man with his hand on his wife's head and one hand on her back. The woman is face down, and she felt like something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith explains that she thought that it was a sex act in progress.
Did you think now, he was going to say fellatio?
Well, this is the thing, is what I didn't understand because I'm really dumb.
Oh,
is
no.
I didn't understand which way she was facing him. Like, which sex act was it? Was it that she was facing his body, his torso?
I see what you're saying.
Head down? Or if she was facing away and he had his hand on her back?
I see. I see how you could be confused. I don't know if you need to do a Twitter poll. I assumed it was fellatio, but I was wrong about wedding, so I could be wrong.
The thing that concerns me about that is obviously like her ability to breathe, but I'm sure many women have pulled it off, but no intention, no pun intended. I just don't, that seems very, would be challenging. Anyways, so she waits 90 seconds. She lets them finish whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then she's curious, though. Was it a sex act or something else going on? Mm-hmm. So she looks again.
Mm-hmm.
Would you look again?
Okay, well, the way she described it, she said, I felt like something wasn't right.
Right.
So maybe she didn't see enough movement, because I'm sure what she did is looked really fast and then looked away. But then keep in mind, she had heard a scream already, right?
Right.
So then she's like, is that what I just saw? Like, what am I seeing? So then she went and did another. I'm trying to give it that benefit of the doubt. She doesn't seem like a creepy peeper.
No.
So I think.
She could be a little nosy Nelly. She could be a Delia neighbor, who was the neighbor with the binoculars.
She didn't seem like a Delia, though, did she?
Maybe she's really bored staying at her mom's house. She's used to being much more challenged. She's in the Navy.
But that's why I think she's much more in tune to danger. Her senses are better than everyone else's. She's just like, pew, pew. What is that?
Or what if she had to take leave from the Navy because she's seeing situations where there are none? I'm just creating drama where there's not. I'm sure
you definitely are.
I'm sure she was not discharged or anything.
Lieutenant Patterson. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so sorry.
Is she a lieutenant?
She's in IT in the Navy, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
So
she's a smart cookie.
Yeah, definitely. So she looks back, and this time she sees the man, the way she describes it, with his arms, his elbows up, like on the sides. It's almost like it was post-coital.
Yeah, like leaning.
Like a lean, like proud of himself, yeah. Like relaxing afterwards. Mm-hmm. But she can't see the woman anywhere. And she thinks, well, that's not right. Because she keeps saying, well, there's no way the woman could have gotten out and left. But I don't understand. In 90 seconds, the woman could have 100% gotten out of the tub.
Absolutely. It wasn't 90 seconds.
She says 90 seconds.
It's not.
It couldn't have been. There's no way. You can do so much in 90 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't understand. So Lindsay says something else isn't right. Her mom says, stop being a nosy Delia and forget about it. But Lindsay can't help herself. So she looks a third time. And this time she sees the guy is now suddenly in a rush, like frantic. And he has this scary look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
So she calls 911. So who do we believe? Do we believe the husband or the neighbor? Christy has some wounds that look like they could be from a struggle. And then we meet Tom Dove. Did you remember Tom Dove?
Who is he?
He was one of the detectives in my very favorite, one of my all-time Kimberly's favorites, Deadly Conspiracy. And he does some of the best detective work ever. You might remember they drove up an hour early and hauled someone's trash away secretively and looked through it in a tarmac.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And he wanted to retire because it was making him sick. And then he's the one who said, nobody likes me in my department. I have 5 years to give to this case and then I'm done. I'm going to solve it. And then the brother said, you're the man. And he cried.
Yes.
And then he retired at the end with his dogs. He started rescuing dogs.
Because but he had a wife.
With his dogs and his wife, they saved dogs because Keith said the urge to rescue goes deep or something.
Did he hang out in Tom Dove's garage? He went in and saw something in Tom Dove's garage, right?
Was Keith the one who had all the stuff really, really neatly, like a serial killer?
Yes.
All the tools?
Yes, the tools. And he's showing him the tool that he thought for some... It was the tool used for something. But I think that Keith and Tom Dove are friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can establish this. And I think that when there's a case, Tom Dove calls him up and says, Keith, buddy, K-Man. Yeah,
I've got one for you. K-Man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
K-Dog.
Yeah.
Got one for you. Lean King. Got something for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Dove has leaned with him? They've done a co-lean together, I bet.
On accident. I think it probably has happened once, and I think that maybe Keith recognized it, had a twinkle, and walked away.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, that's really good.
I can picture it in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So Dove arrests Chris Christie, and the daughters... He was shutting down the Hudson Bridge. It's terrible. He was on a beach when all the beaches were closed.
Oh my gosh, is that what you were saying when you said it's a Chris and a Christie?
No, I was more saying
for the names.
No, okay. I was more saying it's a it's like an 80s movie. Like
no, yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's like our friends, Jesse and Jessica.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Too cute.
Yeah.
Now the daughters know that it wasn't their dad because their parents had a fairy tale marriage. And right before she had died, their mom had opened up to them in a way that she had never done before. And she didn't say, if something happens to me, it's your dad, which is what people always say before they're going to get killed. She was saying how happy she was in her life. Everything was going so good, and she loved them so much. And they thought she was so effusively happy that they thought it was weird almost. What do you think that was about?
We have to wait for the end for my opinion on that. But please re-ask me when I go through my outside information.
Oh, okay.
Which now everybody has to stay tuned.
Okay. So the daughters use the life insurance money that they got to bail their dad out of jail. It was $1 million bond.
Yeah.
Which is kind of insane. Now,
it's Chris murder.
Chris Christie's lawyers say that Lindsay, I'm going to keep calling him that, say that Lindsay doesn't know what she saw. She thought saw like three snapshots of an entire event. So it's really easy to misinterpret what you're seeing, which I totally understand. And how many times have I said that witnesses are unreliable? Because they can show you the exact same event, 10 different people, and they'll all say something different happened. Because I saw a special on it on one of the sciencey channels, and it was a sciencey thing. And they were had scientists that were studying memory and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they showed, they staged a robbery on the street.
Oh.
And then afterwards, they interviewed 10 or 15 witnesses who didn't know it was part of a show. And what the guy was wearing, what he looked like, what exactly happened. Because it was like there was a fight that started, someone took a purse and ran, somebody else hit somebody. They had this complicated thing. Not one person got it right.
No kidding. Wow.
Of what they thought the one girl had stolen the thing. They thought one person hit somebody. It was the other way around. They all thought he was wearing blue or something.
Wow.
He was wearing red. No one got it right. So it's really hard. People, when they're right in that moment, it doesn't retain exactly how it happened. Your mind plays tricks on you.
Crazy.
Yeah. And these were adults. On that note, hashtag believe all children, believe all women.
There
now,
we go.
Lindsay was in the bathroom facing the street when she heard the scream. So maybe it was someone else, like a child playing, I guess, at 6 a.m. I don't know. That didn't.
Yeah, because that's what the mom said, right? Her mom said, well, maybe it was just some kids playing in the pool. And she's like, it's 6 a.m. Get with it, mom. We didn't hear the last part of that conversation.
Mom, I'm on day 3 and I've had enough.
I've had it to here. I'm here.
I need to. I'm just going to go to the mall and do a mall walk to get away from you. I'm going to put in my earbuds and I'm going to do a lap because I can't. And they have air conditioning at the mall, Mom, and you won't even put on the air. And I'm sweating all the time.
I went to a dying mall the other week, by the way. Have you ever been to a dying mall?
Oh, no.
Where all the stores are closing?
Yeah, it's really sad.
It's unbelievably sad. But for some reason, all the kiosks were booming. There were all these kiosks and none of them were shuttered. It was just like the store after store.
But you know what? The malls killed all of these mom and pop businesses when they started opening.
So there we go.
So it's now full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on Stranger Things, you know, at the new mall in the season 3. Did you watch season 3?
I'm not finished with it yet.
It's good.
I got interrupted and I need to get back to it.
The mall plays a big part. Now,
I saw that part. I saw that he works at the mall at this shop.
It plays a bigger part.
Sorry.
Okay. Now, so Lindsay even admits to Keith that she doesn't totally know what she saw. Maybe she was wrong. Maybe her brain is just putting things together. She fully admits that, which I do appreciate.
Yep,
I really, yes, I give her props for that because she's not going saying, I know exactly what I saw and this is what happened and I couldn't be wrong. She's
and
like,
she
maybe could have
been.
I am
she
wrong.
Could have been the worst.
Yeah. Oh, insufferable.
No.
I was expecting her to be insufferable, and
no,
she wasn't.
She wasn't. She was, I mean, she was like how I expect you or I would be, which is like, I really hope that I'm right. I'm telling you what I believe that I saw.
Right. But she does say again where she doesn't think there was enough time for Christy to have gotten out of the pool.
So
and
it wasn't 90 seconds.
And that's one of her biggest thing. But I just don't. You can set 90 seconds on the microwave and you can leave the kitchen, you can go to the bathroom, you can do some dishes, you can take your Care of vitamins, which takes 2 seconds.
There we go.
Care of is a subscription service that delivers vitamins and supplements and protein powders to your door every month. It's summer time. And I'm trying to build a healthy routine, like embarrassing myself on the equipment at the gym, Marie Kondoing my closet so I can get clothes out of it without things falling on my head, and taking my Care of vitamins. You go to Care of and you take an easy and fun quiz about your health goals. I loved the quiz. It is about you and your goals. It is not like a BuzzFeed quiz, like tell us your favorite ice cream and we'll tell you which Minor Friends character you are. And then you get Janice and then you cry all night. This is a way better quiz. And it's hard to know what to do for your health because everywhere you look, someone is very angry because they're intermittently fasting or something like that. But Care of makes it easy for you to know exactly what vitamins and supplements you need to be your healthiest. You get these cute little personalized packs that you take with you on the go. They have your name on them. They have inspirational quotes or riddles like what happens twice in a week, once in a year, but never in a month.
It happens twice in a week. What is it?
Once in a year, but never in a month. It's hard to get if you're not looking at the question. I will be perfectly honest with you about that.
Oh, I don't know. What is it?
The letter E, I think. I'm hoping that's the answer, because if not, I'm going to be really embarrassed.
Oh, yeah, twice in a week.
Never in a month.
You did it. That's good.
I think that's the answer.
Nice work. I like it.
Phew. So for 25% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter dateline. That's 25% off your first Care of order going to takecareof.com and entering dateline, which is us.
It's a great deal. Go check it out.
Yes, we love Care of. Thank you, Care of.
Thank you.
We love Care of. We love taking our Care of vitamins. It makes taking your vitamins so much easier. Now, the DA is kind of, I was a little confused about my feelings for the DA.
Why?
Well, at first I thought, oh, he might be a hottie. But then...
Oh, my.
I realized he looks a little bit more like an American Psycho Superman.
Oh, there we go.
Does that seem more accurate?
Unfortunately, he did not strike me in any capacity. I was like, he's a DA. And I'm saddened by that. I'm sorry. I'm dead inside. I did not notice him in any way.
Well, but he has this amazing hair. His hair has so much height.
He did. He did. I did write down the hair. Yeah.
He's taken his Care of vitamins.
Sure is.
But then the more he talks and purses his lips and very intense, also so much blinking. Like, you know, all of the lack of blinking that What's-His-Name was doing in the Secret Keepers, this guy has stolen all of his blinks, and he is doing them thrice fold. So the more he talked, the less I was into him. The DA thinks Chris
did it. Wait, didn't Gathering Storm not blink? Wait, no, who didn't blink? Was it Secret Keepers?
Yeah, it was...
Guy on the porch with the yelled at Andrea? That was Secret Keepers?
Yes, okay. That was Secret Keepers. So he thinks that Chris was faking his grief. He thinks it's weird that the daughter is the one that called 911 and the daughter's the one who started CPR, that Chris wasn't doing anything to save her.
How do we know that the daughter started CPR? Because she said so.
Yes.
She said she was the one that started. Okay.
Yes, and she's the one who called 911.
So he was running around wringing his hands, rending his garments. What was he doing?
Well, she said he was like struggling to get her out of the spa, I think. He might have been doing some hand-wringing. He might have needed the vapors. I don't know.
No, that's not...
Maybe the vapors from the spa were coming up.
He had the vapors then?
No, he needed them.
I explained what they are, and we looked it up together. And now you're just doing it on purpose.
No, I just have decided that I like it one way, and that's how the way I'm going to do it. I can't learn new things.
That sounds...
It sounds better my way.
Really bad.
Well...
Do you know who that sounds like? That sounds like Nicole on 90 Day Fiancé. I'm just going to... He loves me. I'm doing it this way. I'm moving to Morocco. You move to Morocco, Nicole. You take your five-year-old and you go to
Where's
Morocco.
Where's your store? Show us the store.
Show us the receipts.
You're so proud that you know that expression, aren't you?
I am proud. I don't know anything else, though. I didn't know Stan. I didn't know Ship. I know canceled.
But you know them now.
And you spilling the tea.
That's good. I think all of those are over now, but that's still really good.
It's not. I know. I watch all the YouTube drama. I know what happens. It's my happy place. Because the internet's such a stupid place that the drama channels are amazing.
And it's something about the makeup causes just so much more drama.
Well, the beauty community is rife with drama.
There's no, cooking show YouTube channels that are in fights with each other.
No, normally, you know what it seems to be are, like, channels like Jake Paul, who I don't really know who he is or what he is, what he does.
He's a trash bag person.
I think he is, and his brother are not great humans, but there's a lot of drama with him and some other person who may or may not be a beauty YouTuber, Tana, but she's kind of dramatic.
Is she the one who threw her own festival?
Yes, and it went terribly, and like nothing was organized, so everyone
it was the fire festival part.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it was really bad. But there's always drama with people like that, but I don't know what part of YouTube they belong to. Like just general watch me do things, vlogging?
Yeah,
vlogging.
I think they were some of the first that made it big doing it. Well, he was, for sure.
Just maybe, about their life.
Maybe.
They're just like, here's what I'm doing.
No, I think it was
crazy.
Like dumb pranks. I'm going to go punch my friend in the nuts and we're all going to laugh.
So it's like 10-year-olds watch it.
Yes. Tons of 10-year-olds think it's hilarious.
No, not even tons. Like hundreds of thousands of millions of 10-year-olds.
Yeah. All the 10-year-olds watch. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. So he thinks that, okay, so he thinks I need to do some more digging into Chris's past.
Right.
Apparently, 7 years earlier, Chris was charged with embezzling $19,000 when he was the police chief. And
where was that? Was that in Idaho? Because they moved to Idaho, they said, for a couple years. Did he have to move to Idaho after he embezzled the money?
They moved to Idaho? I thought that, oh, because the guy that we meet, is he from Idaho? The guy with the little pin on his?
Yeah, so I think that he did that in Idaho. I don't think that was in Riverside. That was away. And then he came back after that whole mess. But I was also, were you surprised by that? I was kind of shocked that he had was an embezzler. I didn't see it coming.
You know, nothing shocks me anymore, Dateline. But yeah, no, I was surprised. There, I feel like we saw another one with a guy who was embezzling. Was that the mayor who was embezzling a ton? Yes.
No, it was a policeman. It was another police, right?
Yeah,
he was corrupt.
Yeah.
I think that they built this Dateline up, the episode, in a way that you really, really thought that he was a family man. This was a good, solid family. They kept talking about how close they all were. And then they're like, bam. He was embezzled and he was caught and did time.
Now, the medical examiner says that the injuries look more like a homicide.
Mm-hmm.
There's a clump of hair, so gross, attached to a hair clip.
Mm-hmm.
It's so gross. It's so much hair. It's a not normal amount of hair that you would imagine someone would pull out of someone's head. It's
poor Christy.
I know, it's so brutal. And it's also what my shower drain looks like, and it's again why hot tubs are not sexy. Also, Chris has no explanation for what Lindsay saw. Like, he could have said, well, the reason she saw me with my hand on her back is because the DA saying, well, he could have said they were like bathing each other, which also grossed me out. Mm-hmm. Or again, they were doing a sex act, which is why did we keep calling it a sex act? Can we not call it anything else? Like,
what else would you call it? They were making love? Because that's worse.
No, they were.
Because if they said that, I would have turned off the episode and been like, we're done. Bye.
They were being intimate and sensual in their hot tub. I don't even know. Like, bathing each other in the spa and then their daughter's going to join them. The whole thing bothers me.
No.
So the DA is blinking like crazy, and he points out that Lindsay came up with her story and called 911 before anyone at Chris's house called 911.
Mm.
So it's not like she knew that someone had died and she was, you know, making up a story. Hers came first.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes, and it can't be a coincidence that she saw something or what she thought she saw and then someone actually died. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She could have thought she had seen that, but then nothing happens. Then she would know she was wrong. Something did happen. So then the pièce de résistance.
Oh, boy.
From Keith. I want him to say that every day. By the way, if anyone is not signed up for Dateline's emails, you put in your email and you get weekly emails saying what all the shows are going to be on that weekend. And then there's extra goodies.
Yeah.
And there's one of Keith doing 1-2 buckle my shoe. To warm up, instead of doing 1-2-3 like anybody else would do, or testing, he is doing a buckle my shoe.
That is adorable.
He can buckle my shoe any day.
Why is that so? Or that is the cutest thing.
Unbuckle my shoe.
Oh, why you have to take the sweet thing?
I don't know.
And then you twisted it. But
I don't.
That is so sweet to me. I don't know why.
It's so beautiful. And Aaliyah said it to us, thank you, because I might have missed it because my Twitter was being funky. But
is
like,
it because he's my secret dad that I think it's so sweet?
Do you know how many people think that you look like him when we posted pictures?
I do look like him.
Your hair is the same color.
I thought it when I met him. I was like, you want to be my dad? I should have passed. I should have passed him a note like in class. But that would have been creepy and I probably would have been.
Will you
like,
be my dad? Check yes. No. Maybe.
Maybe. I would have been asked to leave.
Probably.
Hi, ma'am. We're going to have to escort you out. You're making Mr. Morrison uncomfortable. Thanks so much for coming. Don't come back. Don't call us. We'll call you. Sad.
And Mink just would have been laughing and winking at us.
Like, I know.
He would have been so delighted by the whole thing.
Did anybody say anything about your wink last episode? Because it was pretty traumatic.
Yeah, Charles sent me a gif of...
Lucille Bluth?
No, I wish. Oh. Of Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live. And she's doing the guns and winking and doing the pew pew, pew pew. It was pretty funny. I'm going to bring in winking more into my repertoire. I don't use it nearly enough. That's probably why I'm single. So the DA doesn't know why he committed this murder. And that's the big thing.
Right.
And he says it's emotionally unsatisfying for him to not know.
I feel like that's putting it lightly. I would be driving myself bananas.
Yeah. Now, legally, he doesn't have to tell the jury why. But he says, yeah, I just don't have the answer to that question. And Keith, God bless Keith, says, well, it's kind of an important question.
I know. Good job, Keith. Don't let him off the hook.
It was that shade.
Yeah.
He's like, well, it's kind of an important question, okay?
He would never say that to Detective Dove, though.
No. He respected Dove. Mm-hmm. He can see, he's like, you're blinking an awful lot, sir. So, do you need some Visine or something?
I know. Oh, hey, shout out to whoever told me Lumines or whatever, the eye drops that make your eyes really white.
Yes.
It's awesome. You gotta get some. Yeah, we should get them to sponsor us, because seriously, the eye drops make your eyes so white, like magazine white.
I never knew that that was a thing that we were striving for until you kept mentioning Kris Jenner's eyes in that OJ episode.
They were so white.
I didn't know that was the thing, that it was like something to aspire to, but now I know.
I don't know.
And now I'm ready.
She looks so awake. This is good. I use it sometimes to trick people. I'm like, no, I've slept a lot. Ignore the bags. Look at how white my eyes are. It doesn't really work. All right.
The daughters are sure their dad's innocent. Mm-hmm. And the jury cannot make up their minds. Guess what? It's a hung jury. The daughters are devastated. They thought it was going to be not guilty.
I would be so relieved.
I would be so relieved.
Thank you.
Like, wow. They are, and even Keith cannot really comprehend why they're devastated. Yeah. Like, they are
bummed.
I thought they should have been out cheering and gone to Chili's that night to celebrate.
Absolutely.
But they honestly thought he was going to get off. So they are upset.
They're doing nothing. They're going to eat Panda Express.
Yeah. Now, the DA sends Dove to do more digging into Kris's life.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he have Dove do that before?
Unsure. They were just trying to get it done. Just get him in. Get him out.
Like, who cares if we don't know things?
We gotta crank through these murder cases.
So, we meet this old school police officer. He's wearing a very patterned kind of jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't tweed, but it was something. And he's wearing a little American flag pin. And he has a cop mustache. He used to be friends with Kris until one night they were drinking and Kris revealed that he shot himself to get the benefits. Wow.
So that's why he retired, because he was shot. I don't think we explained that.
Well, no, I think that happened when he was a police officer before he was the police chief. Am I wrong? So I don't think he retired after that.
I do have to say their phrasing of that whole bit was a little bit confusing, because they went through Idaho really fast. He moved to Idaho.
I didn't even remember they were in Idaho.
Became a police officer, got shot, stopped, and then came back a few years later as police chief, is how they made it sound.
Oh, in this other town. Okay.
Is that, but then when did he embezzle?
And then was getting, when he was police chief. So, which was 7 years before now. So
he was... He got shot in San Bernardino, moved to Idaho, became a police chief, embezzled money, came back.
But you just said he came back. Okay, so...
That's what I'm changing it. What if
it
was that?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know how important it is, but it was a little bit like... I thought that he shot himself in the leg to retire early, because that makes the most sense.
Right. No, definitely.
But
I think he would... It happened when he was a police officer, not the chief, I think. Again... I get a lot of things wrong, guys. You're not listening to the show for accuracy, are you? I hope not. Now, there are several work friends that say Christy had actually been very unhappy in her marriage.
I just thought of something. What if people listen to our show, like we watch 90 Day Fiancé, to like yell at the TV and scream about how stupid people are?
They hate listening to us.
If you hate listening to us, leave us a 5-star review. Thanks. Bye.
But that makes so much more sense now.
There, we got it. Nailed it.
They're hate listening. I get it. You've nailed it. I 100% get it. Dove finds out, big news, that Christy had cheated on Chris when he was in prison for fraud. I don't blame her.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. But she had been in contact with this guy again right before she had died. And she had been talking to work friends about maybe getting a divorce. So things were not as happy as the daughters think that they were.
So there is the answer to your question.
Oh, of why she was telling her daughters how happy she was and how much she loved them. And she came in and she's
like kind of giddy and like, yeah.
Oh, you think because she's seeing this new guy again?
Yeah.
Or because she knows she's going to get a divorce and she wants the daughters to know that she loves them and it has nothing to do with them.
All of those go together. All of those things, I think.
They didn't say she was going to reconcile with this guy, but...
No, but she was talking to... Why else would you talk to... Like, you have no business talking to someone you had an affair with years ago. I kind of assumed the affair was in Idaho, because clearly I'm confused about exactly how long they were in Idaho and what happened. And I got
very
concerned.
Was it on Whidbey Island? Because if I hear again from someone else about where Whidbey Island is, I'm going to go ape.
Please, everyone, flood every inbox.
I knew what it was. I want 1,000 DMs about Wimby. Misspoke, please.
But anyways, I honestly think she was talking to him again, and that's why she came in and did the flop down on the bed, because they remembered it like it was an unusual thing, right? For her to be in that good of a mood, and talking about love, and then talking about loving them. They just assumed it was about their dad, which makes me really sad if it was.
See, wasn't. I assumed I thought about it, that she knew something maybe was going to happen to her. And she wanted them to have this good memory of her telling them exactly how she felt about them.
It could be that, but I didn't think that, but I see where you're coming from.
So that's interesting. Okay. So it did mean something. It wasn't just out of the ordinary. It wasn't just some conversation. Right. It was actually like it actually was poignant and meant something. Now, here's something else. So this is the best
now,
recap ever.
More information for you all. This is another sentence.
This podcast is brought to you from the support of viewers like you. Why didn't Lindsay see Christy's body in the spa the second time she looked? Because apparently no one thinks she can get out of the tub and back in 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. So the DA orders a water expert to investigate. Again, why didn't they do this before the first trial?
I'm telling you, it was a rush job.
Now, this drowning expert gets into the spa, and they're videotaping from where Lindsay was watching. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hilarious to me. So she was invisible from where Lindsay was, but she was in the water. So that's how, because of the way the pool was built and the angle, you just couldn't see her.
Also, she's not, they make it seem like she's peering over a fence. She certainly is not. It's a wall of cinder blocks that are cut into a design. It's like those design cinder blocks. And so she's peeking through a space in one of the designs.
Right, right.
It's not like she's got her hands over a fence and has her head over the fence. She can only see certain amounts.
No, and every B-roll is her angle. They stick that camera through every hole in that fence in slow motion, sepia tone.
And they keep it. At one point, they keep the camera through
it. For way too long.
Way too long. Like, I actually caught that one this time. I was like,
there's
what?
There's silence, like 5 full seconds of dead silence where you're just looking through that hole.
I think they're doing it on purpose. Dramatic effect.
Yeah, but there wasn't dramatic music, which was weird. So I thought it just might have been
there was
an
no
error.
Music.
Yeah, it might have been an error.
You know, it would have been really good if they'd had the bubble from the hot tub sound effect in the background.
Oh.
Just the bubbles of a hot tub and peering through the cinder block.
That would have been really dramatic.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of that.
Next time.
Yeah. Next time somebody's killed in a hot tub, we'll be on top of it. Now, the defense has also had time to work on their case and to figure out what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. They say Chris didn't know about the affair, so it couldn't have been a motive for murder. And they tell this to the judge in the second trial, and the judge throws it out, so they don't even get to bring it up. Then there's no evidence that Chris shot himself besides that guy with the little American flag pin.
Right.
So they throw that out, too, because it's prejudicial against him or whatever. So that's kind of a big blow.
No, now, but it is, though. It's totally they can't bring that up.
Yeah, I guess.
If he wasn't charged with that.
But this other guy is like a big shot in like he's on the commissioner's board or something. So I feel like his word should carry some weight.
It should. But, and I'm sure he was furious and had something to say about it. But
oh, I'm sure he wrote a strongly worded letter.
Several.
And ripped out some of his mustache hairs and enclosed it in the letter as an F you.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It said, this is ridiculous. Ripped out mustache hair. Threw them into the letter.
Crumpled it. Is that a thing that people do? I don't know.
Crumpled it. Uncrumpled it. Mailed it. Yeah, it could be that. It's
I don't know why I said that.
Sorry.
Now, the police bring in their own photographic evidence of what happened in the spa. This is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an Uma Thurman head, new head who dis, except it's a mannequin. But for some reason, she has no hands. She does have arms. No Stop hands.
It. Stop. It.
No legs. But for some reason, she stops at her Clovis level. She still had a banging bod, though. She had
she's a mannequin
body.
Mannequins always do.
But then there's this there's a guy with her in the tub. But like, I honestly couldn't tell if he was a mannequin too, because his arms were so posed and creamy white plastic, like a mannequin. But he had a ponytail and kind of a dad bod, and then they put a black box over his face, so I can't see his face.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
It's like, is he a mannequin, too? His arms looked mannequin. The rest of him looked like a dude. Can I get a ruling on this?
I did not notice that he was a mannequin, but now all I can think of is get out of my dreams and into my tub. That's all I got. And I think we just came up with Mannequin 3.
Yes. Mannequin 3, the reenactment.
Like, yeah, Mannequin 3.
It's about two mannequins that fall in love while doing a murder reenactment.
It's good.
It's for an Oxygen show, and they're doing the reenactment, and they meet, and they fall in love, and then they come to life. And then, in a twist of fate, he loses his job because he's no longer a mannequin. He gets really depressed, starts drinking a lot, and he ends up killing her in a domestic violence situation. And then two other mannequins have to do their reenactment
for that's their and so
ID
who,
show.
Who is Meshach Taylor?
From Designing Women?
Yeah, because he's in Mannequin.
Okay, so he plays the police chief.
He's the chief. Okay, that's good. All right.
I think he'll have the right facial hair for it. I think he'll grow a nice little stash.
Or is he the guy who provides the mannequins? Basically provides the reenactment mannequins. He shows up.
But is he happy or sad when they come to life? Is he like scared or?
Oh, he's irritated. He's over it by this point. He's funny about it though. He's a comic relief character, like he is in the real Mannequin. And so he's like, here we go again. He's the here we go again. And he's the one that's trying to say, we never know how this is going to go. And the police chief is like, what's going on? Why do they keep changing positions in the night? Yeah, it's going to be something.
Instead
like
of
that.
Saying, I'm too old for this, he says, I've been in the mannequin business too long.
Yep, exactly.
Does it matter that he's no longer with us?
He's not.
No, sorry.
Well, that ruined my day.
I'm sorry.
Rest in peace.
We think you're awesome.
Yeah.
So Uma Thurman is face down in the water.
Right.
Facing the guy, which makes me think you were right about what the sex act was.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did read another article that said he pinned her arms behind her back, and he could really only do that from behind. She was facing away, I would think. Right?
I think that maybe that they're thinking that the hand that was on her back was actually holding her arms. So there's one hand on top of her head. The other hand is reached around and is grabbing both of her hands, like in a lock.
Mm-hmm.
So grabbing her wrists, almost.
Oh, okay. So he could do that with her facing him.
He could. I could be totally wrong, but I'm saying I think it works either way.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But also, it makes a difference because was his arm outstretched, the arm that had the head, was it fully outstretched? Because that would mean the other way. That would mean she was not facing him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so a good point.
We didn't, but the way that they posed it was what I had thought.
Yes, was with the head towards, yes.
Correct.
So the defense poses their mannequin-y and maybe guy that is coming to life. Not
mannequin-y?
Sure
did you call him mannequin-y?
No, but that would be really good.
Mannequin-y and Manna Christie?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And her name is Christie. Manna Chris and Manna Christie.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. So they have them pose in the pool like they're almost touching. And from a distance, from through the wall, it looks like they are touching. So, okay, they think that proves something. The second trial starts, and this time, two of Christie's relatives testify on behalf of Chris how loving they were and how it definitely had to have been an accident. He never would have hurt her.
Right.
But then their best witness is one who, as Keith says, oozes credibility.
Huh.
I haven't heard that. I feel like I've only heard oozes charm. What else do you ooze besides confidence? Confident oozes confidence.
Yeah.
Oozes credibility. I guess you could say it. I just don't think I've heard it. Anyways, the medical examiner disagrees with the main ME. This one is from one town over. He thinks the wounds could easily be from an accident. And the preponderance of the injuries was towards accident, which is what the defense lawyer says.
Yes.
Also, if he was the ME from one town over, like if they had lived a couple blocks away, they would have been in this town and there never would have been a murder trial because that ME would have said that it was an accident.
That's crazy.
It is. So Keith is now back to interviewing Lindsay and he's trying to get into her head and he says, do you ever think in the deepest part of your soul, do you ever fear that you made a mistake? Yeah. That you imagine this whole thing and a man is going to jail, you know? And Lindsay says, yeah, every day I think that. But I still think I know what I saw. And I gave them that information and that's what we think happened, you know?
She's going to die on that hill, Kimberly.
Yeah. So the daughters defend their naivete.
Ooh,
which
good.
We've all been, I mean, I'm sure everyone watching was thinking they're in denial. The daughters say, well, you know what? No, we are listening to everything they said. We are the toughest jurors in that courtroom. And if we heard something that would make us think that he was guilty, we would want justice for our mom.
Baloney. Complete denial. They're not.
Do you think it's worse when people repeatedly say that they're not in denial and they acknowledge that you think they're in denial? Because that's what the daughters keep doing.
But they
I kind of appreciate it because most people don't ever admit that that's a possibility.
Right.
But they are at least saying, I know that people will think that we're in denial.
We'll say that we are.
We are actually really judging everything and we've been given the facts and we heard them, but we don't agree.
But you're not. You're not actually doing that. That's what's sad, though, is that they can't see that they're hearing the things and making them fit the narrative that they want, right? It's like when police get laser focused on a victim that's not right.
Well, it's political. Everyone does it. It's cognitive dissonance or confirmation bias.
Yeah.
You're seeking out the things that back up your theory and ignoring all the other
exactly.
facts. So now the jury gets to decide. Do we believe medical examiner A or B? Do we believe Lindsay or Christie, the husband? Who do you believe? I think I can guess who you believe.
Who do you believe?
Well, this was so funny is the first time I watched this before we started the podcast, I was much more naive. And I remember thinking that the neighbor was wrong and thinking that I didn't think the dad did it. And
I have to. Okay.
What do you, what?
I'm honestly on the fence.
Okay.
I feel like we're in the middle. I don't think it's exactly like Sandra Melgar in the slightest, but we felt that way, this way about the Sandra Melgar case when we watched it on Dateline, because we're presented with a certain amount of facts.
Right.
And they're told in a certain way. And Dateline does a pretty good job of, like, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're not trying to make up your decision for you. Like,
but I do see how someone could see something and remember it wrong. Because I do it all the time. You tell me I do it. I'll remember a sentence wrong that I just heard, and two words will be misplaced. But I am 100% sure that that's the way the sentence was said.
Yeah.
And something simple like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. She could have heard a scream the day before and is remembering it that day.
Oh,
you know?
That's interesting.
So I don't know.
That's why it's a lot like Heath Bar Farm, because the
right.
You have these witnesses that it kind of goes along with it, but then we don't know how much to believe what they convinced themselves of. I don't know. But she believed it strongly enough to call 911 in that moment.
True.
I don't know. I just don't know if she saw what she thinks she saw.
Yeah.
I remember feeling like, this is just weird and I don't know what to think. Now that I've watched so much Dateline, I'm way more jaded, and I think he obviously did it because
got it.
He's the husband, and sadly, I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that he didn't do it, but I don't know if I totally believe that she saw what she thinks she saw. Hmm. So what, you're watching something for 2 seconds through a wall.
Right.
It's really easy to misinterpret something, but I do think he probably did it. But you're on the fence. You're on the fence. The whole episode, On the Fence. That's the title. She was looking through the fence.
Right. Exactly. I feel like, I don't know. I think there are arguments to be made for both sides, honestly. I've watched it a couple times, and I still am like,
I'm surprised. I thought you were going to mock me for once thinking that he was innocent.
No, I want to see the whole trial. That's why I went for outside information on this, because I wanted as much as I could get, because I couldn't figure it out from the episode, because it didn't, the lack of why is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reasons that he would have done it, I'm able to refute.
Mm-hmm.
The outside stuff that I have. So I'm frustrated.
And the doing it with the daughter inside the house asleep.
Correct.
But
correct.
She wasn't, it wasn't like it was the middle of the night and she was asleep. They had gone to wake her up like three times and she kept hitting the snooze. She was supposed to be up at any moment and was going to join them in the spa.
So is there any chance in the world that she told him about the affair at that moment? That she said, I'm talking to Robert again.
Right, right.
Or whatever his name is.
Yeah, that's possible. Weird time to do it at 6 a.m. when your daughter's going to join you.
Do we have any other signs of rage from this guy, though? We have no other. See, it doesn't. There's some
things
that don't.
His only past is the possibly shooting himself for money and the stealing money, which he definitely did.
But those aren't.
But we don't know if they were in financial trouble now.
No, they weren't.
And he needed the money for the life insurance. So
they were not. He said they were doing very well. They were doing well by all accounts.
It's really, I don't know. This is a tough one. I'm very curious to see what people think.
And the daughters never turn.
No. And I always think when the family, there's always family members in denial, but when it's the one who's died family is on the side, I always think those cases generally coincide with me thinking they're innocent if the deceased family members also think. And in this one, it seemed like everyone on her family thought it was an accident. They were supporting him.
Correct.
But then he's found guilty. Big.
Wow.
Wow. So the girls are devastated, of course. Then they introduce a letter in the courtroom when they're trying to do the hearing for his punishment. It's a letter from Christy's brother, one of the siblings who didn't testify in the trial. His name's Billy. He asked for the highest punishment for Chris.
Wow.
He says he and several other members of the family think that he did it. And he's a horrible person. But they don't want to cause a rift in the family. And they don't want to hurt the daughters because they know the daughters are on the dad's side. They don't, you know what I'm saying? It's like that's a really hard position to be in.
It's so really hard.
The DA at first thought he was prosecuting and no one agreed with him and no one wanted it to be prosecuted. But then afterwards, this group of relatives meet with him and they all thank him for doing it.
Right.
So they just hadn't wanted to say anything before, which is a really horrible position.
No, it really is.
Okay, what's outside information?
Okay, so is that the end of the episode? It pretty much is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The DA is very proud of himself and he's blinking a lot.
Yeah, he is. So the outside is the $800,000 life insurance, which I don't know if they said that it was that much. Did they say that it was $1 million?
I assumed it was really high because that's the money they used to get him out of jail on bail.
No, I didn't see that information. I did see that he relinquished it to the daughters.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because if he's on trial for the murder, he wouldn't get the money. Uh-huh. But if they were going to get it, then I guess that would be okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then I also saw the most important things that Dateline left out were the physical evidence. So Chris Hall himself had two fresh scratches on him when they were talking to him. And they also found his DNA under her fingernails.
Oh.
So that's pretty big.
Unless they were in a sex act earlier.
Yeah. Again, this is going to come down to either of those sex acts don't involve her scratching him.
No, I meant like earlier. They had like some morning delight.
And then got in the hot tub?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the night before.
It was also all of her bruising was pretty extensive.
Yeah, they showed some pictures, but I couldn't tell kind of what body parts it was.
It was like her... Hang on a second. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay. Ready? She had 5 rib fractures, bruises and other injuries on her back, hands, arm, elbow, torso, and face.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a real lot. And rib fractures.
So I want to know, what did the daughters think caused that?
Yeah. That was actually a question on one of these blogs that was asked. Nobody answered it. But, I mean, yeah, that's pretty bad. And then the scars or the actual gashes were actually on the back of her head and on the top of her head. She had two.
That's hard to fall. Well, it's easy to fall and hit the back of your head, I guess. Not the top of your head, seems.
Unless you're sliding back. Like, I mean... So the top and back, it could be. I mean,
could fall across the spa and hit it on the opposite side on the top of your head, maybe.
Well, and that's what was interesting is that the defense attorney was confident enough that the jury would buy that she fell, that the jury went to the pool during the trial. And I'm like, well, you must be pretty confident. And they show this sharp edge.
Yeah.
That's near. But I was also curious about what kind of blood was in the pool. Like, how did...
Right.
I don't know.
It looked like some blood was attached to the hair that they pulled out.
So how did the hair come...
I don't understand the hair coming off in a fall at all. Unless the hair was, like, always there because it was over time. But that was the huge hair ball.
It was attached to a clip.
Right. So it had been ripped.
So my thought that the clip attached itself when she sunk to the bottom of that, it's got stuck to the drain in the bottom or to one of the jets. The clip itself got stuck. So that's why he struggled to pull her out. So that's where the rip on the back of the head came, was because he yanked that clip and her hair when he's pulling her out of the water.
That doesn't make sense to me, because if you're drowning, I don't think you sink all the way to the bottom where your head would get caught on the drain. Don't you usually float?
I think you sink first and then you float.
Okay. Science?
Science needs to call us. But I would like to have seen pictures of the scars. I didn't see that. I'd like to see if they're consistent with where her hair was actually pulled out from the clip. But I think that could have happened when he pulled her out.
They showed clips of the lacerations. Or pictures of the lacerations.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, darn it. I must have missed it.
Okay. Yeah. They're very deep cuts. They look like she was attacked by the same owl that killed Kathleen Peterson.
Oh, boy. The other thing that I was going to refute was the rib fractures, which happens when you give CPR.
Yeah.
So if they're giving CPR to her repeatedly in a frantic manner, she definitely could have rib fractures from that. So that's really hard. Then what else did I have? He gave life insurance? No. And then I had that Chris had been recently in touch with the other man, and I would have liked to have heard from him. But no, that's all the outside information I have. But okay. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. So, B-roll bonanza.
Yes, ma'am.
Tons of footage, like we're looking like Lindsay is through the hole.
Right.
They're the lawyers that take over his case. They have this intense painting behind them that they keep showing.
Really?
Yeah, it's large. It looks like a baby or an alien or something.
A baby alien?
I don't know art. And then when the DA gets the hung jury for the first trial, he's walking and he keeps putting his head down like the Arrested Development Charlie Brown walk. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. Let's fashion police. I just really want to say, I think there's something with the lighting in this episode because everyone is really dark and shiny.
Yeah, it's true.
Not just the daughters. Everyone looks like a sweaty piece of chicken.
So, like, so maybe they just had a different lighting guy for this time. And he was like, give my cousin, give Eric a shot. And Eric came in and was like,
sucked.
I like it moody. I like to light things with a mood.
I want to see your pores sweating. That's what
Keith,
I want to see.
Keith, what would you say the mood of this episode is? And Keith is like, well, we discuss murder. And he says, cool.
And then he's like, no powder for anyone.
No powder, orange
gels. That's
not
real. I want real.
I want reality. Yeah. I want to see every depressing freckle.
They all look sun damaged and shiny.
A little bit. But wait, you skipped over my B-roll. I had one.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
There was a cigarette. I thought that was weird.
Who's smoking a cigarette?
No one. What's funny, it's one of the times that they're showing the Cinder Block City, the holes in the wall.
Yeah.
They pass by and it's like sitting on a windowsill. There's an ashtray with a smoking cigarette in it and it pans past it to the thing, which makes it seem like someone was just smoking a cigarette and staring through the wall at the neighbors. That's
classy.
What it made it seem like. And I laughed. And it looked like a clove, which I also thought was kind of funny.
Hipster.
I know. Does she?
They just got home from a party and they saw their friend spin at the local club and now they're coming home. They haven't gone to bed yet. And so they're watching and like, what if there was a second person watching and it doesn't have to be poor Lindsay carrying the brunt of this?
Oh, like, no. Yeah. It's like her weird nephew, Jeremiah. Yes. And Jeremiah came over and like really wanted a cigarette.
But he doesn't want to get involved in the case because he doesn't trust the man. And he thinks the man is out to get him, even though he's a white 22-year-old guy.
And he also smokes
in suburbia.
A lot of pot. And pot wasn't really legal in 2011 at all. And so he's worried he's going to get in trouble with the cops.
Yeah, you got
sorry,
it, Jeremiah.
Eric and Jeremiah might be related. I just made them related. Sorry.
Who? Eric?
Yeah, the lighting guy. They had the same voice for a second.
Sorry.
It's all right. I'm sorry.
They're cousins. So Eric was cousins with the first lighting guy. He's the temporary guy. And then their other cousin. So there's three of them, basically, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're all just trying to break into the union. Because it's really good for lighting. So.
Oh, their Thanksgivings must be so terrible together.
Yeah.
So pretentious. So maybe they just had Thanksgiving turkey and that's what inspired the lighting choices because that's what everyone looked like. like a basted turkey.
That's horrible.
Keith did not look like a basted turkey at all. He looked amazing, like always. So I don't know how that happened. They must have had the normal guy in to do Keith. And then when they flipped the camera around, that's when they had the other guy do it.
Eric.
Because the main guy went on a break.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The only fashion police I had was the City Hall wedding picture of Chris and Christy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was interesting that he was 20 and she was 17.
Yeah, 17.
When they got married. That's nuts. That just seems so young to me.
Well, maybe. We had the farm. Shirley from the farm. She was like 16, wasn't she?
That's true. And I guess it's just now people get married later.
Yeah.
But that picture was priceless. It was perfect 70s.
Beautiful. And they had this fairy tale love thing, or so the daughters thought, even though one of them cheated and one of them went to jail for... They just conveniently don't mention that, the daughters, when they're talking about
their
parents.
Well, that's what I was thinking. How old were you when your dad went to jail?
Well, it was only like 7 years before, I think. So they were all in their like early 20s, I think, at that time. So they were aware of what was happening.
That must have been a little tough on the family. It seems like that would be a big deal in my family timeline if there was a period of time that my dad went to prison for embezzlement.
It's weird to be in your 20s and still have the blind idolation that you have for your parents when you're mm-hmm. a kid when you've seen one of them go to jail for something.
Correct.
And you never lost that, like all three of them never lost that my dad is my hero thing after right. they had seen that when they were young or teenagers. Yep. So that's kind of surprising.
Correct.
And in each picture, they're like sitting on his lap. They're like,
they're
really
a close family. Yeah.
So, it's interesting. I think that's all we have for today, but...
What? That's it. Definitely not it.
What else do we have? I don't have Twitter.
I have a quote.
Oh, I didn't do a single title. That's why I was hoping to just brush over it.
Well, that's great. So I'll just go ahead and take the episode from here. There was a quote I liked. I thought it was really funny when Chris is in the police interrogation, because we got so much police interrogation video. And mm-hmm. he says, look, I mean, she sounds like a truthful kid when he's talking about what she saw over the fence. And I was like, oh, brother.
Yeah, is that like a condescending to try to demean what she was saying? She is a Navy IT person,
correct.
A grown woman, and you're saying...
That is exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Or there was another person living next door who he thought had seen
right.
him.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, maybe it's that girl. I think she smokes weed. We'll be fine. I have a few titles.
No, that's Jeremiah. He thought Jeremiah was a girl because he has the long hippie hair.
Yeah, he might have. Mm-hmm. All right, I do have three titles as well.
Go, do it. I'm so excited.
I have From Hot Tub to Hot Water.
Ooh.
It's bad. Then I have...
Out of the hot tub, into the frying pan. That doesn't make any sense. Sorry.
It's okay.
I don't know why I tried to fix something that was perfect.
That was already bad.
No, it was already perfect.
Beyond the cinder blocks or through the cinder blocks?
Through the cinder blocks of time. This is Lindsay's story.
That's good. All right. And then we have the christening.
Oh.
It's simple.
I like it.
That's it.
It's kind of like Chrisception.
That works.
If anyone's out there is married to someone with the exact same name, but like the different gender version of it, please let us know.
Who would it be for all? Oh, it'd be Oliver and Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be even better because Oliver's real name is Olivier. So it would be Olivier and Olivia.
That would be really cute and really annoying
pretentious.
At the same time. Really pretentious.
And if they were attractive and dressed alike, it would be even worse. I keep seeing that stupid commercial with the couple. Have you seen it? They're like, it's a phone. It's Verizon or one of those. And it's the couple. Yeah, the ones that make me feel like a before picture. Have you seen that? It's a couple talking about other couples that look really put together.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're like,
I do know that commercial.
And they're like Nancy and Chris or whatever their names are. And the Nancy and Chris walk up and they're real cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. I've seen that 1,000 times. It always plays for some reason on, I think it plays in Love Island.
Now you know how I
feel. I haven't seen the finale of yet, so don't tell me.
About the Smile Direct guy.
Mm-hmm. And I can't believe I watched Love Island. I did it. I don't know why I did it.
Melissa and Kim will be so excited. Also, but they really want us to watch Bachelor in Paradise. And Cindy Boxer really wants, there's a lot of pressure basically on us.
For Bachelor in Paradise?
Yeah.
I could try a Bachelor. I don't think I've ever watched a Bachelor all the way through.
I watched that one part of that season with Corinne.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know. Or Corinne? Corini? No. I don't know. No, that's from 90 Day Fiancé.
No, that's 90 Day Fiancé.
I think it's Corinne. And then I wanted to see that one with the guy that jumps over the fence because I thought that was so funny, but I didn't watch it. Anyways, I don't really watch, but I know people think we should, and it's funny. But
try Love Island. Love Island is just, wow. Okay. I don't, just watch it. You'll get the idea right away. But I wish Love Island, I wish I'd watched a British one, because I don't know. I feel like it would be better.
Oh, we have like
British.
4 UK listeners on Twitter who are delightful. Hi,
what do they
guys.
Watch? Ask them. Well, hi, guys.
Well,
what are you watching?
To us. But
which is surprising. But what do you watch that we need to know about? Oliver is watching this ridiculous dating show. I don't know where he found it, but it's there are couples that get rated by people on the street by hotness, like a hot. This is a current show, hot ratings. So it's he gets 60% of people on the street think he would go on a date with him from a dating profile, from just a picture. And then she gets 35. So then she gets a makeover, and then they poll again. And if she can beat him, I don't know what happens. They get a dinner out or something stupid.
They get to murder each other in Thunderdome. What? Right. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's terrible.
And the only reason it's okay is because they're all British. And so they're all mildly delightful.
UK, I expected better from you.
I didn't. They have Every Which Way Is Essex, which is the best garbage. The best.
Okay.
Best of British.
I love that we think that British is all Downton Abbey, but then they have that Georgie Shore. What's it called?
Right, exactly. It's so totally not. Have you seen The Only Way Is Essex?
Trash people, too.
But okay. It's wonderful.
I like trash people anywhere, but with a British accent.
It's somehow more sophisticated.
It is.
It's like clean trash. Okay.
Clean trash.
Scrubbed. Scrubbed trash.
Thank you, everybody. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes, please. And consider joining our Patreon for more episodes of us talking about pure, uneducated nonsense.
And some exciting cutting room floor action.
Yeah. Don't watch alone. Watch through cinder block wall.
Perfect.
Watch.
It's perfect. Say it more confidently.
I don't think it's that good.
I think it's good.
Watch while excessively blinking through a cinder block wall.
Perfect.
Watch while you're oozing confidence.
Watch with your B-roll clove cigarette through a cinder block wall.
Jeremiah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. The world that I found is too good to be.